for me. False teaching and its doom. You know, the first few weeks that we've been in this chapter 2, we were talking about how to recognize false teachers, what they look like, how they act, so on and so forth. Now we're going to look at the doom of false teachers. Now, let me help you out, guys. False teachers come in many forms. It doesn't just mean the person up here teaching the Word of God out of context or wrong. It doesn't mean on TV just the evangelists that are teaching false doctrine. This could mean anyone that is teaching the Word of God falsely. And that's why it is so important that we learn the Word of God, understand the Word of God, so we can clearly and accurately talk about the Word of God. Amen? And so today, we are on false teaching and its doom. We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. And I'm going to read that quickly, and then we're going to break it down. And I have, I think it is 6 points. Let me go back and double check. Six. I have 6 points, and I have every intention on finishing them today. And so, Fred, you might be here a little late, but it'd be okay. I just appreciate you being here. All right, so here we go. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction." Real quick, I want to point out that it says there were also false prophets among the people, because that's Old Testament, and there will be false teachers among us, that's New Testament. And so because prophets of old, as we know them, are no longer in play since Jesus Christ came, meaning that we have the Word of God, or they had the Word of God, now they had the Old Testament. And so there's no need for prophets to come and predict the future, if you will, because that's what prophets would do. They would tell what was coming. We tell what's came or what has happened. So today, if you are a prophet, you are not a prophet like days of old where you foretell. Now you forthtell. You put it out. Because why? We are now teachers, if you will, okay? So to understand the difference and why it changed in verse 1 is because the office has changed. We don't have the prophets of old anymore. We have teachers today, okay? That kind of give you clarity there? Just say amen, make me feel better. Amen. Thank you. Here we go. And then it says here, even denying the Lord, the end of verse 1, even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow, verse 2, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed or not told accurately. The way of truth would be the way of heaven or the way of Christ. Verse 3, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of the temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. And what's real interesting from verse 1 to where I just ended in verse 10 is one sentence. Yeah, you'll go back later and look at it. Here we go. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Verse 12, but these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So that is the context of the passage. It starts in 2 verse 1, goes down to 17. And I would tell you, Peter is adamant about this because, guys, false teachings, and we've talked about this now for several weeks, false teachings will lead you astray. False teachings will take you down a road you don't want to go. What I find real interesting is people are looking for a word that's going to tickle their ear or make them feel better. And they struggle when they hear the real truth. I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, they were talking about, why does God send people to hell? And I said, listen, man, God does not send people to hell, but it's because of false teachers that you have learned a lie. God said, listen, you're already condemned to hell. You're already on your way to hell. You were born into sin, and you are a sinner. You have been lying since you were about a year and a half, 2 years old. Amen. And how many taught you how to lie? At 2 years old, at 2 years old, I promise you, I did not teach my children how to lie. Yet they completely understood and were trying to master it. The master of the art of the lie, right? And so I had to beat that demon out of them. And no, I'm kidding. And so, but I didn't teach them how to lie. It just seemed to be the natural thing, right? Why? Because we have a natural tendency to sin. And so, guys, we are already in that. And so God says, listen, because of that sin that you do, it's because of your lying and your cheating or your stealing or your lustful thoughts or your pride of life or lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, whatever it is, when you see stuff and all of a sudden you're like, I got to have it. Like I was talking to Lauren. I said, Lauren, you still have the best looking truck out there, man. Right? It's like, now I'm not lusting after it, but I look at it. I'm like, oh man, that is a beautiful truck. She doesn't know how to clean the wheels, but that is a beautiful truck. And so, right. And then, so some people get caught up in that or get caught up in looking at houses or get caught up in looking at whatever. And they're like, I got to have it. Or we got to have this certain look. So we go out and we can't buy Walmart clothes. We can't buy, listen, I don't buy Walmart clothes. I buy Sam's Club's clothes. And so, right. But it's like, when we look at it, it's like we got to have certain stuff and we got to look a certain way and we got to act a certain way and we got to be a certain. And listen, that's all pride. And so that is what condemns us to hell. And God says, listen, I'm not sending you to hell. I'm sending my son so that you have a way out and don't go to hell. See, there's a huge difference. And so people are convinced that God is going to send them to hell if they don't do this and do that and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, God's like, no. No, it is my desire that you don't go to hell. And so, listen, since you're already heading in that direction, I'm going to give you a lifeline. If you grab that lifeline, then I will take you to heaven with me. Lifeline is Jesus and only Jesus and nothing else. And so, but what's happened? False teachers. Well, if you don't do good works, if you don't do this, if you aren't that, if you don't go to this church, if you don't go to that church, whatever it is, and God's like, no, simply if you don't believe in my son, Jesus. See, a massive false teaching. Why? Because Satan hates you and he hates me. And here's what he wants. He wants you condemned and he wants you going to hell with him. And so what's the best way to do that? To deceive you. And so you're deceived with lies. And I can go on and on and on. I mean, that's just the simplest lie that I can help you with. There's a multitude of lies that this world is telling you, that TV evangelists are telling you. And all I'm saying is you have to know the truth. And if you don't know the truth, then you are doomed. And if you have someone teaching you a lie, they are doomed. It's one thing, an innocent lie, but just false teaching is absolutely evil and corrupt. And so Peter's like, hey, listen, here is how to recognize false teachers. We went through that. It was 22 things that I gave you. And then here today, we're going to talk about the certain doom that they will be, that is going to be handed to them. Number one, they will bring on themselves swift destruction. If we look at the last half of verse 1, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And people have asked me, well, why isn't God just stopping them now? Well, that swift destruction doesn't mean that it's happening today. What it does mean is that when God finally does go, I've had enough, the destruction will be swift. That's what he's talking about. There will be, listen, it will be a drop of the hammer. Bam, done. And it was going to happen quickly or swift. Because here's what we know. The wages of sin is death, right? And those who walk after that sin or the lust of the flesh, you're doomed for destruction. And by the way, you're doomed for destruction if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. And then you teach false heresies, then it makes it even worse. And so in Philippians 3, 18 through 19, it says, For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. Listen, I want you to see here that Paul is weeping over this fact that there are people that are going to hell. We don't take pleasure in that. And I know when I preach and I just throw it out there, right? Because I'm not emotionally connected to information, if you will. I'm just teaching you. But Paul says here, listen, even weeping, it breaks my heart that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. These false teachers are enemies. Unbelievers, according to Scripture, are enemies. And I know, listen, people don't like to hear that. They're like, you can't judge me. I got a boot with your name on it. That's all I'm saying, right? Because I'm not judging you. I'm giving you facts, truth, according to Scripture. There is but one truth and then everything else that opposes it. You can't have truth in anything but one. It's a single truth that always is. And people want to add to it and you just can't do it. Truth is truth. And by the way, it's not dependent upon you and I and what we think. Truth is truth because it is truth. And so verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Notice little g, God is their belly, meaning their own desires, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. And Paul says, I tell you that weeping, it breaks my heart to have to tell you that. But this, listen, if you don't hear it, okay, we tell people that God loves you and you're going to heaven. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for you. And then we end it right there. If we don't tell you what he saved you from or what he came to save you from, what good is the information? What good is it to say, oh, Jesus came and died because he loves me. Okay, I'm good. But what did he die for? And what was the purpose of him giving his life? It was so that you can go to heaven, so that you don't go to hell. And for some reason, people are like, I can't add that second part in because that will offend them. Well, I'd rather offend you today while you're living and breathing and can make a conscious decision for Jesus Christ than let you die and you're offended because you're in there and nobody told you the truth. Amen. This is just a reality, right, that we have to look at. And so as by God's grace, that we're not in that end if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible tells us that we're to deny ourselves. Look here in Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, that word anyone means everyone, no one excluded. If anyone desires to come after me being Jesus, Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That deny means that we just like, Lord, I can't even heal myself of the common cold. I can't stop my nose from running. I can't stop the cough from coming. I can't stop any of it. And so I have no power, but God, you can. And so I'm going to surrender to you, and I'm going to put my will aside, and I'm going to live for your will. That's what this means. That's what this means. That's what we are called to do. Because here, the word destruction that they bring upon themselves is complete destroying. And that's what God's going to do. Not annihilate, where you're never living again, but you'll be destroyed. You'll be laid to waste. Number two, for a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Look here in verse 3. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words, and then for a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Meaning that God has paid attention to everything. God knows their destructive ways. God's not idle, and he's not sleeping. He's not oblivious to what's going on. He just says, listen, when it happens, the impending judgment will be imminent destruction. It'll be quick. And so God is not sleeping. And by the way, he knows their ways. Look here, their destructive ways. Look back in verse 2. And many will follow their destructive ways. And so judgment and destruction are on the way. Do not think God is not paying attention. It is his time frame, not ours. I don't know about you, but man, there are times where I just want swift destruction. Amen. It's like, Lord, Lord, just high five their face right now, and it'll be good, right? Amen. And so for us, that's why, man, I praise God you're not God, and I praise God that I'm not God, and you need to praise God I'm not God, because right, I'm like, God is so patient, and I'm like, Lord, I don't understand, and he goes, I know, just hang in there, Lord. Why aren't you? Well, why didn't I do it to you? Okay, good point, God. I surrender. Right? I mean, it's like, Lord, I don't want that swift destruction on me, or that swift punishment. And so now, Peter goes in, because we're going to go verses 4 through 11 here, and Peter starts laying this out, and he gives four specific examples of the next point. Number three, false teachers are doomed. False teachers are doomed. And you might go, Pastor, that's harsh. No, it's biblical. And I'm just telling you what God says. But then he puts four things out here, guys, that should literally, his four examples that Peter puts here, should literally capture your soul. Get your attention to understand God is not playing. Look here. So here's four examples. Look here in verse 4. And in verse 4, he says, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. He did not spare. Listen, if God didn't spare the angels, look here in Jude 1:6. It says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. If God didn't preserve them, he's not going to preserve false teachers. And this is Peter's whole point. If God didn't preserve them, listen, he's going to bring the same kind of judgment on false teachers that he did the angels. That's what Peter's saying here in verse 4. Then the second one that we see is the ancient world. Look in verse 5. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. In Genesis 6, 12 through 13, what we're going to see is God's like, I've had enough. I've had enough. I'm done. Look here. This is right before the flood, roughly 120 years before the flood. But remember, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day like 1,000 years. So to God, time means nothing. In Genesis 6:12, so God looked upon the earth, And indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Look here in 13. Did I give you 13? Oh, and I'm sorry. And God said to, I was looking at the last word and it's like earth. It's still earth. What am I saying? And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So what's happened is right before the flood, all people's hearts were on evil. And God's like, and by the way, I don't know if you've noticed, but the more people focus on themselves, the harder it is to live in this world. Has anybody noticed that? Am I the only one? And not only that, but the more people focus all about them, the crazier things get. Amen? It's like, oh my goodness. So there was a lady, she wants to be called she and they, and you and I are supposed to know that. I was just reading yesterday or day before, Florida is getting ready to pass a bill and is up for a vote to pass the bill that if you say anything homophobic, transphobic, whatever, then you will be fined $35,000. It is unacceptable to accept your religious belief or your scientific belief. That does not matter. You will be fined $35,000. And it is not up for discussion. I'm telling you, I just read it yesterday. I read it to my wife and I go, wow, talk about an attack on free speech. And where is it at? Did anybody remember where I said? Florida. Think about that just for a second, guys. Why? Because the earth is filled with violence through them. What are we seeing today? Violent attacks everywhere on free speech, on church, on Christians, on anything good so that evil can prevail. We're there. Guys, we are there today. Like, we can't even deny this. We have a government that says, if you protect our borders like the Constitution says, Texas, we will arrest you. Do not stop people from illegally coming in so that we will give them all of what needs to be given to them so they can have everything. And don't tell me it's illegal. I don't want to hear that. We have crossed lines. But here's what's really interesting is in the days of Noah, what was happening that people don't realize, it was the time of the Nephilim. I don't have time to go into everything or else this would be a two-parter and I only want it to be a one-parter. But what happened is we had Nephilim. What were Nephilim? Angels, fallen angels, come down to earth, have sex with women, humanity, right? And then they have offspring. And the offspring is transients. Is literally what they were, right? And so then what happened is they were literally, the demons were infiltrating everything. And now we got a group of people that aren't completely right. And their hearts are set on evil continuously. The Bible says that in the end days, and now not the end of the world, but the end as we know it. For example, if Jesus came today and the rapture happened today, here's what we know. We have 1,007 years plus a short time. If the rapture happened right now. So the end of the world's not coming. Climate change is a hoax, and God's in control. Amen. And so what happened is, oh, and by the way, guess what we're having today? Transients. They have learned that they can put computers now in people and adjust the way they think. They have learned that they can give shots and it'll change the way people think. And they have learned that they can do all these things. And what are they doing? They're slowly infiltrating humanity and making them transients. And you might go, Pastor, that's conspiracy theory. You're crazy. All you got to do, and I encourage you, please, please, please go out and do some research. Elon Musk said, we have the ability to make half human, half machine. All we need is a willing government. That's what he said. I'm quoting him. All we need is a willing government. Guess what he just got permission from? A willing government. This is so crazy, right? We're like, that's not true. That can't happen. It's got to be impossible. And yet we read that in Genesis that they were half human and half angels, fallen angels, demon. They were corrupt to the core. And what are we seeing today? That the beginning of half human, half machine. And the Bible says that the end will come. When the end comes, it will be like Sodom and Gomorrah, which we see that everywhere, with the alphabet. And then it'll be like the days of Noah. And I'm like, the days of Noah, were evil. Sodom and Gomorrah was evil. Like they were just evil to the core. What is the difference? And I realized with Noah, it was transience. And with Sodom and Gomorrah, it was sexual immorality. And what do we have today? We're off the charts. Off the charts with one and heading that direction in another. And so we are close. And so he'll bring these, he says, just like it was with the angels and just like it was in the ancient world where I destroyed both. And here's the third one, Sodom and Gomorrah. Look here in Sodom and Gomorrah, verses 6-8. And he says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And so why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Because he just said to make them an example. Guys, listen, God's like, I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to show you, and I'm not playing games, and this is real. And then what do we have? We have false teachers saying, nope, God made you that way, and so therefore he loves you, and you stay that way, because everybody deserves the love. And God says, hold on. No, yeah, everybody deserves the love, but I didn't make you that way. I made you innocent, and you chose a corrupt lifestyle. And people are like, no, I was born this way. But if you were born that way, then God's a liar. And if God's a liar, then why are we even coming here on Sundays? And why do we even bother? Why don't we just go home and pat each other on the bottom and sing Kumbaya and go do something else? And so either God is a liar or man is a liar. And you notice I went man, like, and man is a liar. I will put all inclusive. Because remember, there's only one truth. So either God's lying or you and I and the world's lying. If we go against God. And so he says, listen, and then some people are like, yeah, but Sodom and Gomorrah was not about sexual immorality. I am so glad you guys brought that point up. Jude 1:7, look here. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to what? Sexual immorality. And gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example. Same thing Peter's saying, as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Remember, I was talking, God says, I'm going to destroy those. And here Peter says, just like I did with the angels, and just like I did with the flood, and just like I did with Sodom and Gomorrah, because of sexual immorality. And what do we know Sodom and Gomorrah for? The alphabet. And he says, I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to destroy those today, just like I did back then. And this should be your example. I remember one time I gave one of my daughters a spanking. And it was a hard spanking. I won't go into all the detail, but it was tough. And then we get done, and I told my daughter that I loved her, gave her a hug. She didn't care at that time. And I walked out, and when I walked out in the living room, my other daughter is sitting in the living room. And she looked right at me, because the walls in my house are thin. She looked right at me, and she goes, Dad, I'm never doing that. Wonderful example. Amen. And so God's like, listen, this is an example. Learn from it so that you don't get spanked. This isn't ugly, guys. I'm not preaching hate. I'm not preaching ugly. I'm simply telling you that God says, I have given you warning and I've given you example, and here it all is for you to learn by. And if you don't learn by it, then you suffer by it. Amen? And so if God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction, he's going to bring the same. And that's what 1 Peter or 2 Peter is talking about, that he's going to bring the same kind of destruction to false teachers, which, by the way, is the same for unbelievers too, guys. It's just the only difference is for false teachers is going to be really intense. And then he says, like in the day of judgment. This is the fourth one, like in the day of judgment. Look here in verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. That means deliver the Christian, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Reserve for the day of judgment. So when that happens, the day of judgment is going to be harsh for the unbeliever or for the false teacher. And look here in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12:14. For God will bring, now guys, pay attention to this. Because God, listen, you know how you and I, we forget, like we'll go to the grocery store to pick something up. We get to the grocery store and it's like, no sooner than we walk through the door, there are rays that affect our brain and we have no clue why we even went in there. Anybody know that? I went to Home Depot the other day and I was like, hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go into Home Depot. I had to pick up some stuff. And I said, I'll just grab me a Slim Jim while I'm in there for a quick little bit of protein. And so then I pull into the parking lot, I walk in, and the only thing I could remember was the Slim Jim. To this day, I still don't remember why I pulled into Home Depot, but let me say this, I got my Slim Jim. And so, it's like, what in the world? And let me tell you, man, God, even though we forget, God does not. Look here. God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And so God's like, listen, everything done, if it's good, you get praised for it. If it's evil, obviously you're not going to get praised. But God says, I'll bring everything, good or evil. Which means he keeps the books. If you go into Revelation, we read where it says the book of life is open and the other books. What are the other books? They're the books that hold you and I, or the lost, accountable for every action, every word, every deed, good or bad, is going to be judged. And then if we look into Matthew 12:36, but I say to you, that every idle word, which by the way, let me help you here on Matthew 12:36. These are the words of Christ. These are Jesus' words. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. What he's really saying is it doesn't matter if it's an idle word that you flippantly say and don't even think twice about, or if it's an act. You will give an account for it. Especially unrepentant things. If you repent, which means you don't return to it, and you're really in your heart, you repent, God, I messed up, and man, Lord, forgive me. And then you don't return to that sin, it doesn't fall under this. But for those sins that you're not repentant of, and you're not sorry for, they fall under this. Every word, every deed. And so he's saying, just like in the day of judgment, man, and since 2 Peter chapter 2 is very specific, and 1 through 17 is very specific to the false teaching, false teachers, we're going to stay on track with that, but I just want you to know, it's not just the false teachers. This falls for anyone, but especially for the false teachers. And then number four. Whew, boy, that's going to be cutting it close to get to six. Number four, they will utterly perish in their own corruption. Look here in verse 12. In verse 12 it says, but these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed. Wow, that's harsh, guys. Man, Peter is just, listen, He is not even messing around with this. Why? Because truth saves people, and a lie sends them to hell. Amen? Not because you lied, but if you don't hear the truth, how shall you know the truth, is what I mean by that statement. But these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption. Now, here's what I find interesting in the word perish here, if you will, pull that up, to utterly perish. Boy, that didn't do a good job with that. Put an X there. As katathero, or their O, would how it would go, means to spoil utterly, to lay waste. Not spoil as in give you everything you want, but spoil as in you open up the a package of meat that you forgot to put away and you left it in your car for a week. Midsummer. Florida heat, windows up, and then you open the door and you're like, and then you can't get the smell out. You know what I'm saying? That's the spoil I'm talking about. Rotting, nasty, no good. It surely stinks like death. Spoil, to spoil utterly, and or to lay waste. And then the word corruption in verse 12, you have it up. Yeah, it's thora or pathora, and it also means destruction, deterioration, or slaughter. And you're like, God wouldn't slaughter. Have you not heard? Have you not seen the scriptures? God is literally going to lay waste or slaughter the ungodly. That's false teachers. That's unsaved people that refuse Jesus Christ. That literally, and I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm not trying to tweak anyone out. This is, these are just hard passages that I have to teach on. Amen. And because I go verse by verse. So if you're visiting, I'm so glad that you are here, and understand I'm not picking on you. I'm not pointing at you. It's simply the next set of verses that I got to go through. And so you just happen to be lucky today. And you get to hear absolute truth. And then what you do with it is on you. But I'm just, guys, I'm just preaching the word of God. And you have the option to say, I don't believe it, or to surrender to it. If you don't believe it, I'm talking about you. If you surrender to it, praise God, you have been spared. Number five, they will receive the wages of unrighteousness. Look here in verse 13. And will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to crowds in the day. And so the wages of unrighteousness literally is eternal death. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin, and sin is just simply going against God, right? If you lie, you've went against God. If you steal, you went against God. If you lust after the opposite sex, you went against God. If you lust for the same sex, you went against God. If you're a man and you act like a woman, you went against God. If you're a woman and you act like a man, you went against God. There's all this stuff. Right? It goes against God. It's God's standard, not ours. Because if it's our standard, oh my goodness, look around. Who do we follow? That's why we can't follow man's standard. Because who's telling the truth anymore, and who's right and who's wrong? And that's why we're like, oh, I believe them. Why? Because they made it sound good. You don't believe me because I didn't make it sound as sweet and honey and dripping. And, oh, I love you. Pastor John, he's so tender and so kind, and he never hurts anybody's feelings. What? Like what? You know what I'm saying? It's like you can follow me. You can believe me. And then I'm telling the truth. Or you can choose to follow someone else who is just absolutely rubbed your little heart and made you go pop, pop, pop. And you're like, oh, I really like them because they didn't hurt my feelings. And then you follow them straight to the pit of hell. See, that's why there's one truth. It's the word of God. Because if we follow man, remember I told you a few weeks ago, there's 4,500 different religions in the world? 4,500. Why? Because everyone's looking for their own thing. How many philosophies are in the world? And what a way to corrupt minds. Take them to college. They don't know what to do. So, hey, get Get your degree in philosophy. Well, who's philosophy? Well, when you go, you have a philosophy. By the time you're done, you have your teacher's or your college philosophy. You don't have a true philosophy. You have an opinion that you have either been brainwashed with or you went with. It's one or the other. And they're either going to confirm what you believe or they're going to get you to believe something else completely different. And so you go in normal and you come out wacko. Legit, that's what's happening. And so you have to decide, man, who am I going to follow? Am I going to follow the one truth that has never changed? Amen. Or am I going to follow people who change like the wind? It's crazy, guys. And Peter's saying, listen, I'm just going to tell you, there is going to be a destruction and it's going to happen. And you can't follow your own way. You have to follow God's way. And we're all doomed. Because of the sin. Number six, and that, man, thank you, Lord. Number six, last one, guys. I've got 18 verses, but hey, we're on the last one. They will receive the gloom of darkness forever. Look here in verse 17 of 2 Peter chapter 2. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That is a harsh one. You know, in Romans 13:12, Paul instructs us not to be a part of sin. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off or put away the works of darkness or of sin or of evil, and let us put on the armor of light or walk in what God has given us, the truth of what God has given us. Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Listen, it's not that Christians think they're better than others and that, oh, that's why we can't hang out with the world. No, God says, listen, don't hang out with the world because the world isn't good. And you guys have heard me say this a multitude of times. When you go into the barn with the cows don't come out smelling like you. Amen. They don't. And for those of you who have never been in a barn, but maybe you've been in a bar and you go in, you come out smelling nasty, like cigarette smoke and alcohol. And if someone got sick, vomit. And if like they don't come out smelling like you. And so we're not to participate with that which goes against God. And some of you, you're still to this day, you say, I love Jesus, but man, you're constantly playing on the fence. You're constantly playing on the fence. Do not think you won't get burnt. I'm telling you, God does not mess with the fence. He tears it down. And so I want to look here real quick, Matthew 25:30. So in this parable, Jesus gives us a conclusion, if you will, by stating that of the unprofitable servant. And look what happened. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. And then tells us, and by the way, this is Jesus speaking, and then tells us what that outer darkness is. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I'm going to share this as well as I can. And since sometimes I'm not real articulate and I'm just kind of black and white, it's going to take me a moment to focus. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is talking about those who have been thrown in the fiery pit. Many times we use the word hell, but it's actually the fiery pit, the last destination you will have for eternity. And you can tell me you don't believe this, and that's fine. And you can tell me you don't like it, and that's fine. But again, I'm teaching the word of God. I'm not teaching this for your approval. I'm not teaching this for your love. I'm not teaching this for your friendship. I'm not teaching this so that you can send me wonderful text messages later or emails or phone calls. I'm teaching this because it's the word of God, and we clearly have to understand the word of God if we're really going to see what we're up against. If you like me, praise Jesus. And if you don't like me, I'm still going to praise Jesus. This one's hard, guys. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here's what it is. When you die, you get a new body. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we get a new body when we go to heaven. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this old flesh is going to rot. It's going to go to the ground. It's going to disappear. You already know that. But the Bible says that there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and where the worm does not die, there's going to be writhing in pain. You're going to have a new body. We know you're going to have a new body because if we look at Luke chapter 16, we see the rich man, he's not there because he's rich. He's there because he didn't believe in God, just for clarity. And he says, I'm in torment. And he looks, the Bible says that he looks over and sees Father Abraham. So we know he has eyes. And he speaks to Father Abraham. So we know he has vocal cords. And he says, have Lazarus take his finger, dip it in water, put it on my tongue. So we know that he has a feeling because he says, I'm being tormented. Father Abraham says, no, you've had. And he hears him. So Father Abraham responds to him. And then he responds back. So we know that he has hearing and we know that he has understanding. So he has ears. And so we realize that even those who go to hell or the lake of fire, they're going to have a body because their soul is going to live in that body and they're going to be tormented forever. And that weeping and gnashing of teeth, that is the lost soul that's going to be crying and wailing, not crying, not whimpering, wailing and screaming. And the gnashing of teeth is that gritting and because you can't stand the pain any longer, but yet it'll never cease. I'm not trying to scare you. I am not trying to play with your emotions. You guys know I never do that. I'm just giving you information. But you got to deal with that information. You got to live with it. And you can say you're going to believe people and the 10,000 different beliefs they have. Or you're going to believe God, the one truth that has never changed. That has been proven over and over and over and over again to be accurate and truthful. What I find real interesting is everybody says that every book in this, because there's 66 books in this one Bible. It's just a collection of books is what it is. And nobody denies the dates. Nobody denies the historicity of it. Nobody denies the people. Like they can track all the way back and prove everything about this is true, except for I'm not going to believe it. And it just kind of befuddles my brain. But this is what the scripture is talking about. And so, guys, let me tell you something. This is what the false teachers are facing. And unfortunately, it's what the unbelievers are facing. And I'm not trying to scare you. Please go home, process it. Remember this, you're not promised tomorrow. You might die on your way home. You go, Pastor, you're messing with my emotions. No, again, I'm giving you facts. Well, I'll do it on my deathbed. Wonder if you have an aneurysm. You're done. There is no moment to think. It's over. It's just over. Just like that. Life is over. You never had a moment to think again about what I'm telling you now. And the only reason I'm doing this, guys, is because I don't want to see you in the lake of fire. I don't want to see you suffer. I don't want to see you in pain. But I'm telling you, Peter has made it clear what happens to the false teachers and what happens to the unbelievers. And then the very last thing, I'm going to end on this one. Swift destruction, doom, judgment, utter perishing, death, and a gloom of darkness await false teachers. And I will say this, await unbelievers. The only difference is they might suffer a little bit more and you might ask, how's that? God knows there's levels to hell. Satan is going to be thrown into the bottom of the pit. The very bottom of it. Others are not. So we know there's levels there. But the pain is still going to be far more than you and I could ever even think, imagine, or bear. And listen, if you're visiting today, I'm so glad you're here. And I pray that you come back. But I'm also praising God that you got to hear truth. I'm not asking you to be a part of this church. I'm not asking you to do anything except for ponder the truth And the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And we know people are liars. And God has never lied. So either the Bible's true and every man is a liar, or God's a liar and we have nothing to worry about. You have to decide. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for the day. I thank you for those who are here. Father, I thank you for your truth. And as hard as it is sometimes, Father, to preach it, and the harder it is to hear it, Father, I just pray that you would take your words, Lord, and that you would do an amazing work with it, Father. And you would allow everyone to clearly understand that we are people, and we are destructive, and we are self-destructive, and we destroy other people's lives, and we're liars, and we're thieves and cheats and manipulators, and we deceive people. And Father, we are all about us. And yet, Father, you are all about us. And so you don't lie. You tell us the truth. And you love us so much that you're willing to put everything out there and give us your son, Jesus Christ, so that we could be with you and not experience the weeping and the gnashing of teeth for eternity. And so, Father, I just pray you do an amazing work on each and every one of our hearts and in each and every one of our lives. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Now listen, I know today was a pretty intense sermon, and it had some things in there that are hard. But I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ. And here's what it looks like. You recognize that you're a sinner. Man, you've messed up. You've made decisions that were far from God. You recognize that you've done wrong. You've went against God. You understand that. But you believe because the Holy Spirit is prodding you. He wants you. God does not want you to go to hell. He wants you in heaven. That's why he sent Jesus. And so today you can ask for forgiveness. You can repent and God will forgive you. Here's what the Bible says that we have to do. We have to believe that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. We have to believe that he rose the third day and he conquered death and hell. And he's at the right hand of the Father. I didn't say understand it all exactly, but believe is true. And then we surrender. If it's your desire to surrender your life to Christ today, to believe unto him as your Lord and Savior, and there is no other way to heaven, then I want you to quietly to yourself pray this prayer. Now listen to me. The words are not magical. The words themselves hold no power. No power to change you, no power to affect anything. The prayer is simply to give you a roadmap of understanding and a timestamp where you say, this is the day that I, with all of my heart, gave my life to Jesus Christ. Not your head, guys, your heart. And so if that's your desire, you pray this prayer quietly and to yourself. Jesus, today, I believe your word. I believe what was in the Bible. I believe what you say about hell. And I believe that if I surrender all of my heart to you and believe unto you, Jesus, that you are the only way, and I make you my Savior, I believe I'm going to heaven. Because your word says so. And so right now, with all of my heart, not my brain, but Jesus, with all of my heart, I surrender to you. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you conquered death and hell. I believe you rose on the third day. And I believe you're at the right hand of the Father. And so today, with all of my heart, I believe you are my Savior, and I surrender. Today, I give you me, all of me, to walk in your ways, not walk in mine, to walk in your strength, to not walk in mine. Today, I surrender it all.